Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. With me now, the Democratic U.S. Senate candidate in Connecticut, Ned Lamont, as he heads down the home stretch now against Joe Lieberman, running as an independent, and Republican Alan Schlesinger. Mr. Lamont, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Delighted to be with you.
So you defeated Senator Lieberman in the Democratic primary, but now the latest Quinnipiac poll shows him beating you in the general by 17 points. What has happened?
Oh, we're closing fast on this race. It's very tight. We've had three great debates, and we're coming into the home stretch right now, and it's a real choice the people of Connecticut have. Do they want to, stay the course in Iraq, stay the course at home, or are they looking for a real change? And I think people are voting for change right now.
The poll found half the state's Democrats plan to vote for Senator Lieberman, even though you're the party's nominee. If the poll is right, what does that say about Connecticut voters?
A, the poll's not right, and B, Senator Lieberman's been in this game his entire adult life. He's got a strong name recognition, and I came at this race as an outsider about 10 months ago. You know, somebody who felt very strongly that George Bush and Joe Lieberman are taking this country in the wrong direction. I was going to stand up and say something about it. We did well in the primary, and we're going to win on November 7th, and we're going flat out, looking people in the eye, telling them why this race is so key.
Mayor Bloomberg, as you know, campaigned with Senator Lieberman this weekend, is sending money and get out the vote troops. What's your reaction to their alliance?
Well, I think Mayor Bloomberg seems to have done a pretty good job in New York City. But, you know, at the end of the day, we got a lot of his operatives coming up to the state to try and, push Joe over the finish line. And I think this is in our race. It's a homegrown campaign. We get thousands of volunteers streaming into our local offices across the state. You know, we're not paying for that. We're just, generating a lot of grassroots enthusiasm. That's why we're going to win.
Here's a clip of Mayor Bloomberg, and I want to get your reaction to this.
Sure.
There's lots of issues, and not one of them has anything to do with partisan politics. And just the dialogue should be about the issues, and that's what Joe Lieberman's all about. That's why I'm here to support him.
So, Mr. Lamont, do you admire Mayor Bloomberg and maybe even Senator Lieberman a little for being somewhat nonpartisan?
Look, I admire, all people in public service. And like I said, I think Mayor Bloomberg has done a pretty good job in New York. But I don't think it's partisan to stand up and ask the tough questions. And I didn't think it was bipartisan just to rubber stamp George Bush's rush to war. I do think we need checks and balances in Washington, D.C. I think you need people to stand up. I think these debates are good. And I think we make better decisions by having a robust debate on the issues. So too often, bipartisan is an excuse for not asking the tough questions. You know, I think we got into this mess not because we were asking too many questions, but because we asked too few.
The New York Times endorsed you on Sunday, but the Hartford Current and New Haven Register backed Senator Lieberman. The Register said, quote, "If elected, Lamont would be part of a partisan divide that results in party interests prevailing over the common good," unquote. Is that what we need in our polarized America right now?
Well, it's so ironic because during the primary, when I had no primary support, I was like kryptonite. You know, Senator Lieberman did ads against me saying Lamont, he votes with the Republicans too much of the time. He votes to cut spending. And I was accused of being, too much on the other side then. Look, I'm an outsider. I'm coming down to Washington, D.C. I've, started up a business. I bring a very different background. We're going to be walking around with an awful lot of career politicians on both sides of the aisle. And I think I bring a different perspective and a freshness to some of the old issues there. And I think we're going to be able to get something done.
Senate candidate Ned Lamont, my guest on WNYC. The Lieberman campaign said on Monday that you've been schizophrenic, their word, on what to do next in Iraq. because sometimes you call for the approach of a hard deadline for withdrawal of U.S. troops, and sometimes you call for the softer timeline for phased withdrawal. Which of those is your position?
Senator Lieberman has been consistently wrong in the war in Iraq. You know, I say that the only hope we've got there, the best hope we've got there, is to hold the Maliki government's feet to the fire, make sure that they stand up and make the necessary political compromises between Shia and Sunni, territory, oil, and militias. And right now, they don't feel any urgency to do that. So I've said I think a year is a reasonable period of time. I want them to know it's not an open-ended commitment we have there. We're going to be redeploying our troops within a period of time, within a year, and they're going to have to stand up and make those political compromises. I think that's our best hope. I've heard Khalilzad, I've heard Casey, I've heard others now coming forward and saying a timeline is the only way that we can get the Iraqis to stand up and make those political compromises.
That is interesting. I noticed that in the news the other day. U.S. Ambassador in Baghdad, Khalilzad, and General Casey, they're calling for timetables, but they're trying to put timetables on Iraqi troop readiness. So is that really the same thing as a timetable for getting out?
I think it's all heading in the same direction. The Iraqis are the only ones who can solve this for themselves. Our having 140,000 troops trying to referee or police the civil war is making the situation worse. The top British military general, our own generals, are saying we're fueling the insurgency, exacerbating the insurgency. So this is the time for us to change course.
So you are for a more hard deadline, something like the Jack Murtha approach of saying, or the John Kerry, Russ Feingold approach of saying, get out by next July?
I have said I think a year is a reasonable period of time for us to redeploy our troops. And then we're going to let the generals work out the details of that. But let's be clear with the Maliki government. It's not an open-ended commitment. We won't be there as long as it takes, as George Bush said, or the troops must stay, as Joe Lieberman wrote. I think it's very important that we hold their feet to the fire.
What's your understanding of Senator Lieberman's position on the war today and how different he is from you on what to do next?
Well, when I got into this race last January, I was following the senator's piece in the Wall Street Journal, which was headlined, "Our Troops Must Stay." And throughout this campaign, the senator believes we're making great progress. There's a military solution here. It's just going to take a little bit longer. You know, have at it. Stay the course. And I just think that's dead wrong. And I think it's a recipe for disaster. And I think our best hope, as I said before, is to start putting in place all the incentives to make sure that the Maliki government can make the real political compromises.
And you think Lieberman is not calling on them to do that?
I think he's really not. I mean, he has said, of course, I want the Iraqis to solve this for themselves. And he gave a speech to that effect. But then the very next day, he meets with the president of Iraq, Talabani, and he says, quote, "We had a very pleasant conversation and discussed the great progress we're making." So I think on November 8th, the day after this election, I don't know where Senator Lieberman is going to be, but I think it's going to be more of the same.
Just to alert our listeners, we will have Senator Lieberman in this time slot tomorrow. Last Tuesday, the New York Times published an analysis of Senator Lieberman's statements on the war that showed he was much more likely to criticize President Bush than to praise him, especially early in the war. How much does that undermine the main premise of your campaign?
The New York Times wrote a piece where said that Senator Lieberman, in many cases, is just sounding an awful lot like George Bush every step of the way, including the phrase, "stay the course, stay the course, stay the course." You know, my strongest objection to the senator, though, is not simply that he supported this invasion of Iraq or even that he, doesn't want to reconsider the alternatives now. It's that when others stand up, when it's a guy like Murtha, when it's our generals, when it's the retired generals, when it's politicians and say we've got to reevaluate, we've got to take another look, it seems to be the senator who's sort of questioning their motives, suggesting that they're partisan or negative or, quote, trying to undermine the credibility of the president. And I think that's wrong. I think you want people down there in Washington, D.C., asking those tough questions. I don't think we'd be in this mess otherwise.
In the Register's endorsement of Senator Lieberman, It said he has voted 90% of the time with his party and that he has a strong record on protecting the environment, women's reproductive rights, and energy independence, and that he voted with other Democrats against President Bush's tax cuts and the Medicare prescription drug plan. So, assuming you accept that characterization, how much of a voter's decision in this race, especially a Democrat's decision, do you think should be based on the war?
Well, first of all, Brian, I mean, the senator had a pretty good record early on in his career. He was a progressive. He was strong on reproductive rights and the environment. Something has changed. He was the only, New England Democrat to support Dick Cheney's energy bill, a bill that, provides billions of subsidies to ExxonMobil and did, so little when it comes to fuel efficiency and energy conservation. And he had a good record on reproductive rights. And then last year or earlier this year, he said, those poor rape victims who end up at a hospital, if they can't get emergency contraception, oh, heck, it's just a short drive to another hospital. So I think he's changed.
So are you saying that Joe Lieberman may have voted with the Democrats 90% of the time in the Senate, but the things that comprise the 10% are worth more than 10% because they're that important?
I think there's a lot of truth to that. Sure, people say, look, the senator, he's good on ANWR, but he's bad on the war, so he's batting 500. Well, I think there's some things that are defining issues. And I think getting energy independence right and freeing ourselves from this addiction to oil has ramifications across the board, and the senator has been wrong on that in supporting the energy bill. I believe that the Terri Schiavo case, a case where the federal government is intruding into our private lives, the most private and personal decisions, I think that's a big issue, and the senator has been on the wrong side of that. And when it comes to the war in Iraq, when it comes to the potential war in Iran, I think the senator is on the wrong side of national security right now. So, yeah, I do believe some issues trump others.
Interesting that you mentioned Iran. What's your position on what to do with respect to that country, and how do you see Senator Lieberman's as different?
Well, Senator Lieberman supports the Rick Santorum Amendment for regime change backed by a force of war to make a difference. I disagree. I really believe that now is the time for hard-headed direct negotiations with Iran. That's the best way that we can deal with them in their efforts to get a hold of the bomb. And it's our best efforts as we try and start redeploying our troops. We're going to have to engage them in a direct way. So I don't think we need more war in that part of the world. I think now is the time for hard-headed negotiations, working with our allies, and to get Ahmadinejad to change his murderous course.
You don't mean to say that Senator Lieberman is calling for war against Iran, do you?
He has called for regime change, and he's certainly discussed the military options front and center.
As Senator Lieberman has crept back into the lead in the polls, I see more and more reports of major Democrats cozying back up to him, is the way some press accounts put it. Do you feel at this point genuinely supported by the Democratic Party as their nominee?
Well, a little bit of yes and a little bit of no, frankly, Brian. Here in the state of Connecticut, where the Democrats know me, from Chris Dodd to the electeds to the legislators, they are strongly supporting this campaign, and I'm proud of it. I've had a chance to meet them all. They know who I am. They know why I care so strongly about this change in Washington. You know, the folks in Washington, the senators and the such there, some of them are a little tactical. Some of them are, playing it close to the vest. We've had, Wesley Clark and Senator Kennedy. We've had John Edwards. A number have come into the state. But at the end of the day, I'm not looking for a lot of Washington Democrats to come in. I'm looking to look people in the eye and tell them this is who Ned Lamont is and why we ought to have this change in Washington.
Is there anything you'd be looking for from the National Party that you're not getting now?
Look, I'm going to have a chance in January to get down there, meet all these folks. A lot of them known the senator for many years. But I think on the big issues, they agree with what this campaign is all about. And we'll be working together hard. We'll be asking the tough questions. And I'll be reaching across the aisle to make sure we get good things done for the state of Connecticut. We're 49th out of 50 states when it comes to every dollar we send to Washington. We only get 67 cents back. I think we can do a lot better.
Democratic Senate candidate Ned Lamont, my guest for another 5 minutes or so here on WNYC. We've been following the role of the Internet in politics this year, And I see you've just released a new block of television and internet ads. How do you advertise differently on the web? I know it's been a strength of your campaign.
Well, when I first thought about getting into this race, the establishment media, just like the political party, were a little dismissive. They said it's impossible. You can't take on a three-term incumbent. Why even try? And it is true that there are some folks on the internet that said, look, I don't know much about Ned Lamont, but I know a lot about Joe Lieberman, so why don't you come to Naples Pizza or a La Paloma coffee shop and hear what he has to say? So early on, we would have 100 people there, and we had a real conversation and dialogue going with the people of Connecticut. And I think the internet is really good when it comes to grassroots, enthusiasm. You know, as we've gone into the general election, now we have less than a week to go. Sure, we're getting on TV and doing direct mail and doing some more traditional things. I've even got the bus. We'll be heading off in a couple days and traveling all throughout the state, meeting as many people as I humanly can.
Are you more sarcastic on the web? Are you playing to your base more than to swing voters relative to television?
I think the web is a little more interactive. It goes back and forth. So as opposed to just 30 seconds where you're looking in the camera or making your case, it's a little more give and take, and I think that's not bad.
Give and take? You mean, would you say things on the web that you wouldn't say on television?
I don't think so. I know in my business people say things via email that they'd never say in the telephone, and I sometimes correct them on that. But I think on the internet, yeah, maybe it's a little bit edgier. You have a different audience out there. But I think the most amazing thing about it is the give and take and the back and forth.
Do you think web politics is both a democratizing force and a polarizing force?
I think that's a very good question. I think it's definitely a democratizing force. It allows folks from outside the system like myself to get some traction and meet a lot of people that maybe you won't be able to do through, you know, the established parties and the such. Sometimes it's an echo chamber and people talking, you know, to folks just like themselves. But I find we're finding that in broadcast TV and maybe even a radio. I mean, you got the folks on Fox News, they're all of a certain ilk, and they're sort of listening to each other in an echo chamber. So I like to think that the internet is broadening and diversifying because there's so many different sources. And if you explore, you're going to find all different points of view, and I think you'll be better for it.
Senator Lieberman says even if he wins as an independent, he would expect, because of his seniority, and he indicates he's been told this, that he would get a good committee chairmanship as a Democrat if the Democrats control the Senate, better than you with no seniority. Do you have any reason to doubt that?
Just that George Bush and Dick Cheney are campaigning all over the country for Joe Lieberman, and you know Joe is getting almost all of his support from Republican voters and Republican donors. So I think he's going to have, some mixed, I don't know where he's going to be on November 8th.
Bush and Cheney are campaigning all over the country for Lieberman, you said? Can you back that up?
Sure. Just yesterday, President Bush was on Fox News talking about Senator Lieberman and the importance of this race here in Connecticut. Dick Cheney, it's a regular part of his stump speech wherever he goes. So when it comes to that next key vote for Supreme Court justice, which could swing the balance of the court, I'm not positive where the senator is going to be. Or that vote to start redeploying our troops, whatever the case may be, I'm not positive where the senator will be.
You gave a speech at the University of Hartford last week in which you said, quote, "This is the Washington of Joe Lieberman and George W. Bush. It's the Washington they defended together, the Washington they have protected together, and the Washington they will settle for if you give them the chance. But it doesn't have to be our Washington," unquote. Given that Lieberman has voted with his party 90% of the time, is that exaggerating the closeness of President Bush and Senator Lieberman?
No, not at all. I mean, the Washington right now is a Washington where we've doubled the number of lobbyists, Brian, in the last 6 or 7 years. They're spending over $400,000 a month per congressman. I think, we got to be down there fighting for the public good, for the public interest. And on too many bills, I look at Medicare Part D, where we give up the right to negotiate drug prices, and it's a bill that's hundreds of billions of dollars over budget. Or Dick Cheney's energy bill with all those tax subsidies. That's a bill that even John McCain called "no lobbyists left behind." That's the Washington that I'm talking about. And I think we have too many career politicians in Washington, D.C., who say that's just the way it is. I couldn't believe more people weren't outraged by that bridge to nowhere. I can't believe they weren't outraged, Republican and Democrat alike. They all just sort of shrugged and say, this $240 million bridge to a deserted island in Alaska is just the way we do business. Well, it's not the way I'm going to do business.
You compared Lieberman to Nixon. I think it was in that same University of Hartford speech. Was that fair?
Yeah, what Richard Nixon said way back in 1969 is, I want to end the war, and I want to bring the troops home as much as you do. And we lost thousands of more troops who were in that war for another 3 years. And now I hear Senator Lieberman and even some of the administration saying, oh, now we're really sort of thinking about maybe changing course, and we want to bring the troops home. And I want to hold their feet to the fire. I want to make sure that that's really what the policy of this country is going to be, and it's not just sort of an election eve conversion.
We're just about out of time with Ned Lamont, Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate in Connecticut. We'll have Joe Lieberman tomorrow. But just real quick before you go, since Senator Lieberman lost the Democratic Party's get-out-the-vote infrastructure to you, how important do you think Mayor Bloomberg is to his chances now?
I think it's helpful. He is bringing in an awful lot of out-of-state operatives. They're buying an awful lot of ground game because they don't have the grassroots enthusiasm or the Democratic Party working it the old-fashioned way. And you can buy an awful lot of support that way. But at the end of the day, I really believe that old-fashioned enthusiasm at the grassroots level is going to trump what you can buy or bring in from out of state. I think that's why we're going to win on November 7th. I think people want a real change in how we do business, and they know that's what this campaign's all about.
So last thing, like Mayor Bloomberg, you are an independently wealthy businessman, largely self-funding your campaign. Neither of you could have gotten where you are in politics without, forgive me, buying your way past the competition without a party behind you, at least at first. Is this good, bad, or mixed for American politics?
It's not good. Like, I'm not buying my way by any competition. Joe Lieberman outspent me big time in the primary. He's outspending me now, and I'm proud of the fact we've had 35,000 people donate to the campaign. But more to the point, you're absolutely right. I mean, when I went around and I said somebody ought to challenge Joe Lieberman, they said it's impossible. You can't take on a three-term incumbent. You know, they've got so much institutional money, the PAC, the lobbyists, it can't be done. And it discourages competition. It discourages choice. And I'm sorry that, it takes people to put some of their own resources behind the table if you want to try and shake things up. I think public financing would be good. I think caps on spending would be helpful. I think that would bring more competition to the process. But in the meantime, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. We're going to stand up. We're going to challenge how we're doing business in Washington, D.C. And I think Joe Lieberman is just part of that process right now.
Democratic Senate candidate Ned Lamont from Connecticut. Mr. Lamont, thank you so much.
Hey, Brian, great talking to you.
Well, some of the discussion there between Mr. Lamont and me, as you heard, was about Mayor Bloomberg inserting himself pretty heavily now into the Connecticut race on Joe Lieberman's side. In a minute, we'll look more closely at Mayor Bloomberg's involvement in this and other national campaigns. Is he trying to launch a new centrist movement, maybe even a third party? Is Mike Bloomberg the new Ross Perot? Stay tuned. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.